We loved some of the conversations from our last season, and we thought we'd revisit a few while you were waiting on Series 10. In this episode, we talked about PDAs, public displays of affection. During this chat, I shared what I'm like when I fall in love. And we also asked, are we living in an age of performative affection? We have to say, it was a PDA episode. Pretty damn amazing. Make sure you're following at Len and Courtney on all social platforms for all the latest Len and Courtney news. See you then. The space of affection, send me over the edge. Like, I'm the kind of person who does say, get a room. And I shouldn't be, because I've come from it. And I know it can't be that brain fog.
I'm Sonia Lennon.
And I'm Brendan Courtney. And you're listening to the Lennon Courtney Podcast.
We're so excited for you. This week, we're talking public displays of affection.
Do public peckers need to get a room? Or is flaunting your love to an audience just part of a relationship life cycle?
We talk about performative affection and ask if COVID has affected affection for the better.
This is the Thinking Woman's Guide to Public Displays of Affection.
So, how was your week?
Busy.
Was it?
Intense.
Yeah, a lot going on, right?
Well, just filming and...
And mother.
And mammy. So, filming was great with three amazing women. A split between Frances Black, senator, singer, and then Mary Kennedy, who's my first presenter when I was a researcher, and then amazing...
Who was posting herself in beautiful Lennon Courtney as
yes.
well.
Yes.
Yes.
Who, and then the other amazing woman who I'm absolutely in love with now as well is...
Isn't it a good thing I'm not jealous all the same?
Yeah.
I have so much love to give and receive that I don't mind that you have other amazing women in your life.
You're just a giver.
I am.
Yeah?
I am. I'm also a taker.
Yeah. You would be a top if you were a gay man.
but I do it with kindness.
Yes, yes. And took Mom to get her nails done on Saturday. And yeah, it's so cute.
I sat at lunch on Friday with the Irish ambassador of Norway, Chile, Colombia, Canada. It was so amazing.
So they're the Irish ambassador in those places?
No, they're the ambassadors
to that
in
country.
Ireland,
okay.
Of their country in
I
Ireland.
I bet you felt right at home.
I was very happy. Yeah. I was basically, it was a party hosted by the Norwegian ambassador, Mari Skar, who is amazing. And she invited lots of fabulous people,
yeah.
Including all her ambassadorial mates, obviously,
lovely.
who are her neighbours, effectively.
Okay.
WhatsApp.
Hoi polloi.
But it was so gorgeous, you know. And then I got thinking about, you know, the diplomatic corps and how amazing it would be to just make friends for a living.
And that's what their job is.
Well, they're just super nice, super confident, really self-possessed, very intelligent. You know, how nice.
Stop playing with your mic.
How nice is that? So,
but you have to be a civil servant, right?
Yes.
To qualify.
You have to do the exams, the civil servant exams.
And do all European countries have a similar civil service to us? Would there be a back room in all government?
Yeah, so they're
possibly
all Department of Foreign Affairs.
Gotcha.
So that's the department that they come out of.
So obviously where I'm going with this is, how do you become an ambassador?
I guess you progress through the diplomacy ranks. You do your civil service exams.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. We'll have to get a diplomat on to talk about that.
So PDA is why?
Well, I think it was my idea, was it? PDAs?
So. The idea developed to PDAs, but you had another idea, which was...
Oh, performative. So that's what I kind of became interested in, this idea of performative affection, and it came out of a conversation that I was having with some girlfriends where one of them was saying that she remembers her father making a big deal of performatively kissing her mother when he came into the room, but she knew intuitively that her mother had set that up, that it wasn't coming from her father. Isn't that like an absolute spaghetti plate full of everything you want to talk about human relationships? But yeah, she felt her dad wouldn't naturally have done that.
Yes.
But her mother kind of actioned it for whatever her own reasons were. But I think what made me think about then is, you know, this, we're kind of living in this sort of world of public displays of affection. Like they're all over the place. It's just become like this big explosion.
Do you think so?
Well, it's something that the media are using as a catchment now to tell stories about celebrities.
Okay.
You know, so whether it's Travis and whichever,
Courtney,
yes, thank
Travis,
you,
yes.
Or Who's the other one?
Like Kim and Pete.
But it's okay. So let's talk about that, because this is the absolute nub of this conversation. And when I started looking into it, what I realized is there's two different forms of PDA, like really split down the middle. There is the absolute natural hostile takeover of your brain with oxytocin that happens when you are in love. New love, lust, yeah. And when everything just...
And you want to tell everybody
and
that.
When you want to show the person and they want to show you, and actually you do not see the world. You're don't see anything.
And you don't care.
Well, you don't want to show everybody because they don't exist. It's just you and that other person, and it's this kind of incredible...
Oh, I hate that.
Unsustainable...
I hate that period. I hate that period because you are mental. When you're in love first time, you're derailed, right?
You are, yeah. Well, you're not functioning.
Oh, I hate it. Oh no, I never want to. Go
you're
back
not functioning
to that.
Strategically.
I'm a loon. Yeah, I'm not.
What
good
does that? What does Brendan in the first throes of love look like?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just about to completely contradict myself. I am. When I was younger, you kind of, it's a little performative, right? You're trying to do what grown-ups do, isn't it? A little bit like that. But
well, you're learning. You're learning. In a learning process.
But I would say, because, and that's in my makeup, as you know, is to develop obsessions, right? So I suffer from OCD and it's present. So when I'm in love, it becomes an obsession and it's not good. So I like to sort of get through that period and to settle down. And then once you settle down, it's grand. And so Adam and I had that period at the start. Absolutely. He didn't leave for 5 days, you know, when we met, because I wouldn't let him leave. No, you're saying I'm going to cook food. We're in love now. It was crazy. Yeah. It was crazy. I never want to go back to that person. I don't like that person.
It's funny that you don't like that person.
Oh, it's you're so vulnerable and you're so open and you're so... And it's nonsense. It'll pass. You know, you're right. Your brain is taken over by a fog of love. You call it love, but it's crazy, right?
You can only hate it in retrospect. You can't hate it at the time because the oxytocin is flowing.
I don't hate it.
Oh, well, I've done it enough to hate it. I've been there, that guy, a couple of times in my life. And you're debilitated. It takes you over. And I don't have time for it at the moment in my head. You know, I don't want that. I want stability. In as many areas as one can do,
particularly when there's stuff to deal with, you know, that you don't need any more
distraction,
derailment,
no,
you know,
no,
yeah.
So that's one.
That's one.
And the other is
this performative piece, which I think is
you're fascinated by.
I am fascinated by because it rings hollow, you know, that if you're doing it, if you're being affectionate to show others.
So here's a spin on it, right? My mother still to this day always says, "Oh, you were such a kissy kid. I kissed everybody. I would arrive to my aunts and kiss everybody hello." And I remember sometimes my uncles looking at me a bit strange. I mean, I was 16. No, I was like,
what bit of them were you kissing?
No, I was like, I remember 6, 7, that kind of thing. Hello, kiss everybody, because my grandmother was very kissy. And so that was just instilled in us as a we're a kissy family. But my parents' parents weren't like that. You know what I mean? My grandmother was, my dad, but my dad's parents were not displays of any affection. So he was a real kisser. My dad would hold you down and kiss you when you were a kid.
Even though he wasn't used to that from his upbringing.
Yeah, he put it into his
life. Well, they're the choices you have. You either perform to type or against it, right?
Right, yeah.
So either you were...
So he performed against it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cute.
Yeah. Oh, no, look, I think it's adorable. And I mean, my big, you know, 6'3" son now, I mean, I make him hug me because I just love it, you know? Yeah. And I think it's really important that you don't lose the ability to hug and to be affectionate. And I'm thinking like myself and Dave, we're not performative in that way, but there's a ritual around, you know, kissing each other hello and kissing each other goodbye and, you know, wrapping your arms around somebody just so that, you know, you don't feel like co-tenants in a way that you know.
Let's get to the nitty gritty, right? The Courtneys and the Travises of the world, right? That PDA stuff, that's what annoys us, right? Now, you know how much that annoys me.
Yeah.
Like performative public displays of affection send me over the edge. Like I'm the kind of person who does say, get a room.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't be because I've come from it. And I know it can be that brain fog. So are we saying that sometimes you just can't help it?
Well, sometimes you can't help it when it's hormonal.
Yeah.
And you actually are in the first flush of love and you can't see anything else. Research says that although a number of people said they participated in PDA, 32% of people who identified as women and 37% who identify as men said that they had engaged in PDA in a strictly performative way.
Wow.
So it really wasn't about being caught up in the moment with their partners. It was about grabbing other people's attention.
Yeah. I mean, I have planted a kiss when I've seen somebody else looking at my boyfriend. I have done that. Yeah, territory. Terrible.
Here's a funny one. I have seen Dave put his arm around my back and it's totally subconscious in a room where he feels proud of me being there with him.
Oh, that's nice.
But he wouldn't normally do that.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of almost patriarchal in a way. And there was nothing bad, nothing negative about it. But he doesn't do that. And there's particular environments where...
Interesting.
...where I know he will... And it's almost like it
is... I'm pretty sure he doesn't listen to this podcast, is he?
No.
Oh, good.
But I've said it to him, you know? Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely subconscious. And it's definitely a very particular social cue.
Yeah. What is it?
I think it's about... You know, we're together and I'm proud and we're proud together. And, you know, and they're very professional circumstances. It would never be in a social circumstance.
Yeah. Adam literally corpses if you go near him in public.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the raccoon.
Yeah. So I kind of have fun with that. Give me a kissy kissy. And he's like,
yeah, I think if you go back to the family thing.
Yeah. My family are real kissy. We are all kissy, kissy, kissy. We're a kissy family.
So they have done research around, you know, how affectionate your upbringing is. And what surprised me was that they found that, so there's kind of below average, normal and above average. And normally when you go to the extremes in these research pieces, you tip over to the dark side.
Right. And what is the dark side?
Well, apparently there isn't one. So there's no such thing as overly affectionate.
Oh.
Isn't that nice? I would have thought now if you had a really extravagantly affectionate background that you might either, and this is very telling, go a bit soft.
Yeah.
That you're not able for the world or your expectations would be too high.
Yeah.
But actually, no, these adults who had been in very, very affectionate and affectionate homes were more stable, less anxious, less stressed.
Yeah.
So that does give a great grounding. So,
my parents are very, very affectionate, as I've already said.
And look at you. You're perfect.
There you go. But they were very performative in a Vodka 7 1970s keys in a bowl kind of way. I'm just setting a picture that they would be jealous of each other and they would act this out as if I kind of feel they would do it sometimes because they felt they were supposed to do it.
Yeah.
I don't ever think it was really real sometimes. Mom would accuse Dad of flirting with somebody at a dinner party. I remember you'd hear them, you'd be like, Dallas. Like, oh my God, they're at it again. But it was fueled by, they were very in love for a very long time when we were younger.
And kind of lusty, obviously.
Really lusty. They were at it all the time. Like, it was kind of annoying. And we were teenagers and they'd be at it. Like, stop it. It's gross. Your parents. Anyway. And the amount of times we walked in on them in weird rooms or caravans or like just happened all the time. So they were very lusty. But there was a performative side to that, which I think was probably quite negative. They were jealous. What a waste of time.
And it's funny because we you know, we learn how to behave through our social cues and that involves media. And if you think about the kind of melodrama that was.
Melodrama.
That was pervasive in those
relationships.
Yeah, but Dallas Dynasty, or like that was everything was big hair, big jewelry, big
fights.
Crying fits, big fights, big flouncing out.
Yeah.
So that was kind of baked into our culture at that time.
But I think also the way a man asked a woman out in the 50s and 60s, and the way he paid, and the way he cycled her home, and the way, all those very performative social cues for how you progress in your courtship, there was rules. There's literally a rule book.
There's still rules. There's still rules. I had a really interesting conversation with Finn about engagement rings. You know, and we were saying, oh, you know, would you choose one yourself, or would you get the man to, or how would it work? And he's like, well, I'd definitely choose it. And I was like, well, I think that might be a mistake. You know, if you are caught up in engagement ring land, which is another whole conversation, right?
Is he?
No, Jimmy. No. This is all totally hypothetical. Just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, sure it is.
He's like, I'd want to choose it, right? Now, Finn is 17. He's a brilliant guy. But that's because...
Hold it there. Let's take a break. And we're back because...
That's because... We tell a story to people about how things happen.
Yeah.
And so I know women in my life.
Who have the ring they hate?
No. Who have the ring they love because they've chosen it themselves, but would never admit that he didn't choose it.
I so have that, no time for that.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. I have no time for that.
But that's performative, right?
And I know lots of people who've done that, yeah.
It's funny, isn't it? And that perpetuates then a sort of a totally unrealistic human behaviour and human expectation from both men and women.
And you see, and the older I get, the more important it is for people like us to rail against the patriarchy, because it oppresses women, whether you like it or not. The end of that sentence is she's oppressed in some way because she's letting him. Oh, it's just weird. Mm. It's mad, isn't it?
Mm.
Like my mum used to say, he chased her till she caught him, that kind of thing.
Mm.
You know, she, yeah. You know, flirty, flirty.
Yeah.
And then he catches her and then she buys the ring, but then he's got to get down on the knee. I mean, it's just exhausting, yeah. Isn't it?
It is a performance. It is a performance.
But then again, I mean, I have always struggled with people who are engaged perpetually.
So yeah. Hang on a second. Can we talk about, people who are engaged perpetually. So why have you...
No date. We're engaged. Yeah. For what? You have to be engaged for something, and they're engaged now, and you're getting married. Oh, I don't know. Are they engaged?
I don't know that I haven't come across that one.
Oh, loads of my family, loads have got engaged, and then they'll figure it out after that. I've always wanted to go out with somebody called Beyonce, so I could introduce her as my fiance, Beyonce.
Oh, that's nice,
isn't it?
I like that. It's unlikely to happen, I'd say.
I'd say this is my fiance, Beyonce.
That's a good one. But let's talk about why we. Hate seeing people publicly display affection.
I think with life experience, you can smell when it's fake. And I think that's what we don't like. Whereas if you see, like, we all love the old crinkly couple holding hands walking down
Nothing
the beach.
Nothing
nice. And they give a little peck and they do a little peck. And that's they're not even looking at you. They don't give a shit. But they're showing affection to each other in a very sweet way.
The crinkly couple.
Yeah.
Am I crinkle cut.
Yeah. And I love crinkle cut crisps. Which reminds me. Sonia and I were talking about that. What do you talk about when you're not out here, Brendan? Crinkle cut crisps.
So, why do we hate it? Because I think we can smell when it's fake.
Mm.
Also, I remember being somewhere and Deborah kissing Jeff in a nightclub, like having a little wear, and they got kicked out. And they weren't very... publicly, they were just having a little snog in the car, you know. And next, I looked at the bouncers, and they're like, "Oh, got kicked out." Yeah. So I mean, I was like, "Okay, you misread that one."
Mm.
They were just having a little snog. They were dating. I don't think they were married even, and they got kicked out for kissing. And she was really embarrassed.
And if you transpose that behaviour into somewhere where public displays of affection is more normalised,
like cinema.
No, like, I'm thinking like kind of. I'm thinking like South America or Italy or.
That's my favourite joke. Do you want to hear my favourite joke?
Yes, of course we do.
So Mary gets invited on a date, and she's two spinster sisters. This is my dad's joke, by the way.
I don't think you're allowed to say spinster anymore, but keep going.
No, I'm just reliving my dad's favourite joke. Two spinster sisters, and Jack down the road asks one of them, they want to go on a date, and they're both in their 60s. I don't know why they have to be in their 60s, but that's dad's joke.
Crinkle cut.
Crinkle cut, yeah. And she's sitting there and he gets very heavy and he's like all over, and the funny thing was, sweets in my bag all the time.
In memory of Frank.
Frank, yeah. Totally inappropriate. Anyway, so good. Okay, so they're much more expressive.
Absolutely.
Latin people.
Yeah.
Interesting. That would make sense. Italian men are very wolf whistly.
Yeah.
Stereotype.
Yeah.
But there is a thing definitely in Italy though. You see, it's almost like young men that I've seen over the years now react to a woman walking by, like the proverbial building site.
Yeah.
And they're, hey, Chiquita. You're like, what the hell? Like, it's almost like they're that's performative for the other guys. That's weird, right?
Yeah. But it's, again, you're back to kind of these pockets of cultural normality where things are acceptable, questionable, but acceptable based on what's happening around you, you know? So, and I wonder if part of our history and culture in terms of our own identity struggles with the idea of affection, because it is largesse and confidence and sort of self-possession, everything that we haven't traditionally been.
As Irish people. Yeah.
So
we've been oppressed.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all a bit kind of a folded arm under sizable bosom and kind of looking at things going, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Who does she think she is? Kissing the face off him over there. Put your clothes back on.
But I knew and worked with Katie Price and a friend of hers who I still know, so I'll leave nameless. And I told you the transactionary of that public affection with the boyfriend and the sponsored by Flake and Eater, remember Anthea Turner and all that kind of stuff. It's actually where the rules end and where the love begins is very blurry. Mm. So if this particular girl was getting married to a kind of a famous pop star, but the whole wedding was on hold to see when Katie Price was available to be the bridesmaid.
Yeah, because that would up the magazine sales. Yeah.
And I thought, God, why are you, like, surely if you're going to buy into the patriarchy and buy into the idea of a wedding, it has to be on your terms and for you, right? Or not?
Well, maybe that is on their terms.
Well, that is also where my head often went with it as well. But this is how they live, right?
Yeah.
But I found it at the end of the day, it's a riding to a bit of a hollow life.
Yeah.
You know, the marriage didn't last in the end anyway. But
I mean, marriage is a funny one. What is it like? Only 1 in 4 couples are married now. Like, it's there's so many more people
not married. Yeah. Well, my neighbour, very nice Sandra, is a lawyer.
And is that her actual name?
Very nice Sandra. And she was telling me, so she does family law and she is out the door with gay couples getting divorced. That's by far her biggest thing. The minute the marriage equality referendum happened, there was a big surge of people getting married. And there's a lot of people getting divorced now. She's like, her biggest client list is gay people getting divorced. That's how it's tragic, isn't it? So I suppose if it's authentic, we can generally sort of figure out a PDA is authentic and it's cute. If it's too passionate, or people are drunk and it's tongue and it's, you know, and it's in a public space, it's uncomfortable for everybody else, right? Straddling, not a look, right?
No.
But like, where do we stand on it? Where do you stand on it now?
I'm concerned that my unconscious biases are wrapped in a sort of a spaghetti plate of emotions around it, that I wonder, am I more comfortable, and this is a question I haven't come up with the answer, I wonder am I more comfortable looking at PDAs with younger people? I wonder, does that feel
more appropriate?
And I wonder, is that because of my own experience and knowing that at that stage you're in the learning phase of your life?
Yeah.
And that as you get older, you would hope that you understand how to control yourself a bit better, maybe. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
And I'm really questioning myself about
this. No, but also,
this.
You're right, because there's also a general consensus that, you know, as we age, the world then moves into the ownership of younger people, right? And that's a generally accepted cultural norm that, it, you know, we kind of shuffle off and do our gardening and leave them running the pubs and the nightclubs and let them have it, right? But actually, it's not always right. You are dumb when you're young, right? That's part of being young. So we can't always lean to their better knowledge for, you know. No, you're wrong. You can be wrong sometimes and you can point it out. So I do find myself in cinemas going, get a room.
Yeah. Or we can be dumb throughout our lives. You know what I mean?
That's another option.
I do think, and I've seen it firsthand, you know, I've friends in their 50s who've fallen in love and they're just like teenagers. You go back into that stupid nonsense obsession thing again. Like some really smart people I know turn into gobshites when they fall in love. Like, I'm not going to say who they are.
No, say who they are, Brendan. Say who they are, please.
Name and shame, Brendan. Name and shame.
No. But they know who they are.
Or do they?
Yeah. Yeah, very funny to watch a very smart, wonderful person you know turn into a teenager.
Mm. And then become a mirror image of the person they've fallen in love with.
Or just become slightly obsessed and you're like, oh God, it's so boring. Like even just watching it is boring. Never mind being in that headspace, you know. It's just like, oh God.
Brendan there mushing his cocktail like,
oh. vile.
Gagging his maraschino cherry. Yeah.
Where we started this conversation is, and where we should leave it, I think, is
in the cinema.
The way you started it was the performative side of that, which fascinates us, right? Mm. And the woman who made her husband kiss her, and the daughter knew it was a performative thing. Mm. Very interesting. Mm. And almost kind of controlling.
Very much so. On both sides, actually.
On both sides, yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder then, can you not think about control when you're looking at affection in that way? Is somebody driving? Is somebody controlling? I don't know.
Did they stay together? What was the?
Oh no, they did. Yeah, they did. But that was part
that was
of
a little role play.
Yeah,
they did.
Little role play.
Actually, just before I came out, Adam was working at his desk, and I just leaned around and gave him a kiss on the cheek.
Good.
See him, but I wouldn't do that in public.
And would you normally lean in and give him a kiss before you left?
No, he's been away for a couple of weeks, so I haven't seen him. And I said, hey, welcome back. And I'm going off to work now. Bye-bye. Kiss. And then I was like, just while I'm just thinking now, I wouldn't do that in public. I probably would if we were... recently I was in Panty Bar with Rory and a few other friends, and they commented at that how in loved we look, because we were laughing together. And I was like, no, we were just laughing at you. We weren't laughing together. We were laughing at you. Oh, you look so in love, you two.
I think you can pretty much tell when people are in love, whether they're sprawled all over each other or not.
Yeah, you can. Well, you can tell. What I'm always fascinated about, and we are gone way over time, I'm sure, aren't we? But I'm always fascinated about how you can tell people are a couple. I love that. Mm-hmm. They walk in and you go, or you can tell they're having an affair.
You know, dun, dun, dun. You know, Thinking Woman's Guide to having an affair. There's another episode.
Hashtag don't get caught.
The Len and Courtney podcast is an Exceed Potential production. Episodes are produced by EOMD Productions. Follow at Len and Courtney on all social media platforms for the latest news and updates. New episodes are released every Thursday.